Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, how are you?
I am good. Good.
That's what's up. I'm writing, you know me, the usual. I had to come out and, you know, join the Writing Royalty crew because we have a fabulous guest this evening in the clubhouse, the one and only Mr. Alphadeek Banks.
A legend. You know what? I know I'll be saying that about everybody, like people that be coming on. I'll be like, yo, it's a legend. And really, quite frankly, a lot of them be legends. But, like, this man is really, nah, seriously, this man is really a legend. Like, he's a pioneer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
His own movement, ground up, ground roots, true to life, everything him, you know, on his own shoulders. So, like, mm-hmm. When I say he's a legend, like, it's really well-deserved.
You said this is not a game, right?
Yeah, it's not a game, for real.
Absolutely.
It's about to go down. We're going to have him out here, and it's going to be awesome. What you about to say, Tony?
No, that was me.
I was going to say, how was everybody's week going? I know you and Aaron writing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even try to front this one off. Like, my week's been about the same as it was yesterday when I spoke to
you. You know what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Look at here, BB. You know my BB.
Yeah, I mean. Hey, by the way, everybody, when they say BB, that means they made a mistake. It's like one of those things that slaps across the screen when you're watching TV with the comic book strip. It says "oops" over somebody's mouth. When they say "BB," that's what that means. Like "oops."
They could tune into last night's show to get the full effect. Absolutely.
Yes, last night was definitely a marvelous show. As you know, they all are. Like, we do some great things around here.
We really do. I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's fun things, too. You know, I really have a lot of fun with you guys, and it's so nice, the guests that we have. So we have some fabulous guests on the show, you know, and tonight is just another example of it.
Yes, I'm excited.
Absolutely.
I haven't had a chance to sit down with Mr. Banks. I always see him in passing. Like, we're at Source of Knowledge because that's our hometown, so we're usually there at that bookstore. So we have never really had a chance to sit down, so I'm excited about tonight. So we can ask the questions that the readers want answers to and find out, you know, how he stays on top. You know, he's not in any controversy. He's never in people's business. You know, he pretty much stays to himself. He lets his pen speak for who he is as an author and as a man, and I appreciate that, mm-hmm. you know, staying out of the riffraff and shenanigans. You know how that can be in the industry. And he keeps his nose very, very clean, and he always delivers quality work to the reader. So that's definitely commendable.
Yes, it is. Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to get to know Mr. Banks a little bit better. Add him to my list of great artists and people in general.
Yes, you must. It's a must. It's a must. You got to start at his humble beginnings all the way up to his today's work. He has a wonderful following, you know, behind the wall, and he reaches out to make sure that they get him behind the wall. So, and he's a phenomenal dude, and I'm interested in, you know, hearing what he has to say. And Mr. Bebo is in here. I know he's going to take right over and help us get those tough questions asked. And I can't wait. Ms. Tony, you could go ahead on and pay those bills so we can be able to get him in this clubhouse.
Absolutely. Well, once again, welcome to our special night edition this Thursday evening. We are excited to have you on board for this exciting show with Mr. Alfred D. Banks, a legend, as they say. Writing Walter is radio is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a great community of reading and writing greatness. And as you heard at the top of the show, Ms. Nene Capri is busy at work pinning those 5-star releases. But in the meantime, and in between time, you can pick up some of her great hits. She has the PTRAP series 1, 2, and 3. And then 4 is on the way, and I can't wait. I am rereading along with one of Mr. BB's classics. She also has the Trust No B series along with the one and only Cash Streetlet author. That is an all-time classic. That's just, you got to have that in your library. And on the T-Street, Ms. Capri has Painted, Lies, Fear, and Death. And you should have seen on Facebook, part 2, another one that's in the works. I can't wait to get my hands on. And Mr. Bebo, Aaron Bebo, he is no slouch in his pen. He has Cupid's Assassin, which is, I'm reading right now, Mr. Bebo. Bunches of Love is in the wings to be read. That's part 2 of Cupid's Assassin. And also under the powerhouse, D-Street Chronicles, my all-time hip-hop favorite, I Used to Love Her. And he's pinning part 2, so stay on the lookout for that. Those are just some of the fantastic books that these two fabulous authors of Writing Royalty Radio has out there. And I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, the beautiful one and only Miss Leisha. What's going on, girl?
Hey, everybody. This is Leisha. For those who don't know who I am the head of Writing Royalty Promotions, as well as the head promoter for Boss Lady Publishing and Nene Capri. I won 4 groups on Facebook. I'm part of this lovely cast, and I'm an avid reader as well. I do want you guys to get your cyber eyes peeled on Amazon. We got some hits out here. I want you to go and we'll get that one click popping on Stuff on Pause by Tanya Robinson, as well as And Then There Was None, and that's by Clay Thomas Williams, as well as Girlfriends by Arthur LeVon. So go ahead on and get those one clips popping. And Mr. Bebo, did you cook today?
Did he go in the hair and makeup?
I think he went in the hair and makeup.
I think he's eating the food that he cooked because he's making pepper steak. He was making pepper steak and stir-fried vegetables when I spoke to him at 6, and I'm quite sure that he has a mouthful of that right now. He brought it with him to work, and this is outrageous because last time it was hot wings from Hooters. Now it's pepper steak. No telling what it'll be next time, but, you know, this is outrageous because, I mean, you know, I don't pay him to go in a green room and just eat all afternoon. Like, no one does that. But that's okay. So anyway, while we're talking about shout-outs, definitely shout-out to a D-Street Chronicles author who drops tomorrow with Trust No One, Stephen Love. He's dropping his classic, so make sure you get ready to one-click that tomorrow, Trust No One. That is hitting tomorrow, so get ready to get your Kindle and your Nooks ready for another great read coming out of Camp G-Street. There's going to be some phenomenal things happening on G Street in 2014. So that's just one of, you know, the many that things that George Sherman Hudson is doing over there on G Street, building the brand, getting it hot up under the collar in the industry, and plenty other things. Entertainment is definitely where he's going. And we're going to see a lot of things coming out of the G Street Powerhouse this summer, this winter, all into 2014. So be on the lookout for those great, great, great things that are happening on G Street.
I have to say,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, through my connection with you and loving what you do, you have introduced me to G Street and George, and I am so happy and honored that you have, because as a result of that, I'm seeing the power that he is exhibiting, you know, the great authors that he's bringing to the board. I've got some great reads on my Kindle, and I'm really, really thankful for opening up my library through you with George and G Street. So thank you.
All right.
Absolutely. And speaking of G Street, Roxy Reynolds, who is an author on the G Street label. She has her new book, Secrets of a Porn Star. She will be in Philly. Philly will never be the same. On July 2nd, she will be at Black and Nobel from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We want you guys to go out, get that book. You got to get the book.
She'll be signing it. She'll be signing copies. She'll be taking pictures, exclusive pictures with readers. The author, Nidhi Capriya, will be standing right next to her. We're going to have a ball that evening, so definitely, definitely come out and see us at Black and Nobel in Philly. We will be turned all the way up with the infamous porn star, Roxy Reynolds. So I am excited. This is her first novel. She has another one coming this fall, and it's just going to get better and better and better. So come out and see her. She'll also be in Ohio in August. Look out for Alicia. She'll be posting that. So if you're in the Ohio area and you're on our listening radar, please look out and listen out for her date and location in Ohio. It's going to be phenomenal. She'll be doing book signings at a bookstore as well as an exclusive party. So definitely you want to come to the bookstore in the daytime, get your signed copy, and come hang out with her that evening. It's going to be out of control, bottles popping, dancing, laughing, having a good time. So you definitely don't want to miss that event if you're in the Ohio area. And we will be posting the time and the date and everything of that particular show. So definitely make sure that you keep your eyes peeled for updates with that. So I'm
also
excited.
We got Mr. Aaron Bebo. He is turning Florida out. He will be at Books A Million in Vero Beach, Florida, and that is July 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. The address is 58th Avenue. That is Mr. Aaron Bebo. He will be signing copies of I Used to Love Her at Books A Million on July the 12th in Vero Beach, Florida. So keep your eyes peeled for all the flyers that will be going up. And just go out there and get to know the author with the pen, Mr. Aaron Bebo, and hang out with him. Get your books signed and have a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're doing a lot of big things. We're going to be having some trips with readers. We're going to be doing some great things. We're trying to plan them now. There's so much going on. Everybody's schedule is so heavy. So we're all trying to, promote and tour. And we're trying to do a lot more events. Me and Aaron are going to be doing some events with Jason Poole. And we're going to just continue to turn it up. We're going to continue to do that all summer into the winter, getting them ready for 2015. We have some great titles and stuff coming up out of our G Street camp. Authors are going to be doing some great things, so I can't wait.
Me too. I'm really excited about it. You know, every time we turn around, we got some new material to click, some new stories and become involved in. It's like these stories just take me into another world, and that's the beauty of reading, and that's the beauty of the different authors, because you get to go into a different world with each different book that you pick up and read. So that's just awesome. That's how I look at it. I always just, it's in my mind, I'm like that fly on the wall.
The good old fly, you just can't wait to find something else to read.
Yes, I'm waiting to find those novels that you're pinning over there, Miss Capri.
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing so much. You know, I had The Pussy Trap Part 4 that'll be coming soon. I also have Tainted 2 that'll be coming soon. I got some surprises that I'm not even going to mention until they're about to drop because it's going to just blow their mind. Oh, it's awesome. I'm excited. I've been picking covers and writing outlines in between, you know, penning these novels and getting my readers ready for the, you know, the new and improved because I'm going to take it to the next level in my writing journey, and I'm excited to introduce my readers to my next work and, you know, let them just see where I'm taking them on this journey. I'm just happy to have my bosses, you know, with me and loyal to, you know, to my craft, and I appreciate it. And tonight
Absolutely.
Is a perfect example of having someone on our radio show who has reading bosses who are definitely loyal to his pen. You know, they always support him regardless. So when he comes out with a novel, they're always right there, you know, getting those paperbacks, one clicking, and supporting Mr. Banks. So I'm excited that we have him on here tonight so that we can highlight the many, many things that he has done in the industry.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it's going to be wonderful.
Absolutely. It's going down.
Yes.
And so, all you bosses out there, we will be trapping. I'm telling you, 2014, we about to be trapping because Nene and Cash, they got another book coming out. And y'all know how we love that Cash and Capri pin together, that Trust No Bitch prequel, Eyes and Cayenne. I wasn't an Eyes fan, but, you know, I'm going to read the book because Cash and Nene wrote it.
Oh, great. Thanks. Thanks, Leisha. Thanks.
I'm a really
fan. I'm just a fan. I can't wait. Anything with Cash and Capri, C&C, that's fire right there. So
right, it's going down.
Whether you're an Eyes fan or Alicia fan, it's all in the between the books. You got to get it because you can't go wrong with anything written by Cash and Capri.
Cash and Capri,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And Hot Series, and Trust Me, Bitch, is now distributed by G Street Chronicles. We are heavy in the prison system, so if you have a loved one who is behind the wall, you're now able to go through the G Street website and order those books for your incarcerated loved ones, get those books moving. G Street Chronicles now has control of the distribution of Trust No Bitch series by Nene Capri and Cash, and they are moving those books around for us, and we are very, very honored to be in their distribution center. So definitely, if you haven't already read the Trust No Bitch series, you definitely want to one-click it, get them paperbacks, as well as go through G Street Chronicles if you have those incarcerated loved ones so that you can get that in behind the wall to your reading family. So that is what's up with that. Other than that, I don't have too much else to say. I'm interested and excited to get Mr. Banks into our clubhouse. So I definitely want Leisha to go ahead and drop that beat, that 24-hour hustle. Let's see what that's about so we can get ready to bring him into the clubhouse. Leisha, drop
that beat.
Well,
you want to read his bio? You want to read his bio first or you want to drop the beat?
Drop the beat, then bring him in.
All right.
This is state of emergency. Bitches, 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 bitches.
You want me to
bitches,
do? I'm sorry.
Bitches.
I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back.
Corporate love and hustle, making money hustle. Independent business, 24 struggle. On the block hustle, crooked cop hustle. No sleep in these streets, 24 struggle. On the stroll hustle, tricking John hustle. Working the pole, that's your goal, 24 struggle. Counterfeit hustle, politics hustle. Flipping bricks to go legit, 24 struggle. Overbooked hustle. Writing books, hustle.
In the pen with your pen, 24 struggle.
Rocking college, hustle. Getting that knowledge, hustle. Keeping up with tuition, 24 struggle. Underhand, hustle. Made in Japan, hustle. Trying to come across that border, 24 struggle. Mafia, hustle. Conglomerate, hustle. Fall in love with a thug, 24 struggle.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Go with niggas that be sucking, that be sucking.
You know we hustle around here.
This is serious, man. cards, hustle. Never let them pull your card, 24 struggle. Going green, hustle, slot machine, hustle. Keeping money in your jeans, everyday struggle. Move your foot, hustle, doing jokes, hustle. Protecting everything you have is a known struggle. 9 to 5, hustle, overtime, hustle. Trying to hold a decent job, make your mind struggle. Bootleg, hustle, doobie and braids, hustle. Trying to ride the latest wave, 24 struggle. American dream, hustle, plotting the scheme, hustle. Cause every time we close our eyes, all we see is struggle. Tattoo, hustle, YouTube, hustle. Just to get a couple views, watch a few struggle. I know we all hustle, that's all a part of struggle. It's how we get it popping off, so we all bubble, bubble, bubble.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be thugging, that be thugging.
You know we hustle around here.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be thugging, roll with niggas that be thugging.
Uh-huh.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be thugging, that be thugging.
You know we hustle around.
Well, all right, all right, all right. It's about that time. Miss Tony, Miss Alicia, we are getting ready to read the bio. And it's about to go down. I'm glad you came back, Aaron, because it's about to go down. We're about to read the bio. We're going to be bringing Mr. Banks on in the clubhouse and let the readers get to know the man behind the pen. Go ahead, Alicia, read that bio.
Absolutely, absolutely. He has written and published 9 novels. He's the co-founder of True to Life Publications. Now, True to Life Publications just entered into the world of comics as author Alfred E. Banks transforms his fiction-based novels into graphic novels and comic books. This is about to be a really good show up in here. Let's bring in the author, Mr. Alfred E. Banks.
All right, bring him on in.
He's in.
He's in.
Hey.
What's
good?
How
hey,
are
hey.
You?
What's going on?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
How you?
Thanks for having me. Peace, bro. What's up?
Peace. How you?
I'm good.
Legend
always
in the building. For
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. This is Nene Capri. Definitely honored to have you here. I'm good now.
Good to be
we got
here.
You here. We're getting ready to learn the author behind the pen, as we said when we first came up with the concept, you know, a man who's definitely very to himself, very to his own business, making sure he keeps no complaint in the industry, no rumors, no gossip, no garbage.
That's right. Drama free.
Absolutely.
Yes, just books. You give us what we came out to see, and that's awesome,
exactly.
You know, to be in the industry so long and to still stick to your guns. You know, stick to what you came into the industry to do, which is to give them pieces and parts of your craft and not, you know, the drama, the garbage, the nonsense. Please,
tell us about
your humble beginnings and, you know, how you able to keep that ultimate hustle going.
I'm a hustler by heart, so at the end of the day, if it wasn't books, it could be a zillion other things. Like, you know, I believe that anything that I put my mind to, you know what I mean? I'm gonna give it 100%, and it has no choice but to work, because I'm not gonna stop until it works.
Definitely. Now your first novel, please introduce us to your first works and what made everybody fall in love with Al Sadiq Banks.
The first book was No Exit. I don't really think it was. Can you hear me good?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't really think it was about the writing, because I had a story to tell. So, you know, I didn't really learn to write until, you know, the novels after that. But I mean, it was more or less like the story that I was telling that really, you know, brought the readers in. It was relatable. It was a tad bit different from what at that particular period, what everybody else was writing. Everybody was writing from a more of a female standpoint at that particular time. So, you know, when I came in, I pretty much had the whole lane to myself writing male-based characters, like, you know, distributors and, you know, and a lot of readers. The whole industry basically told me that it wouldn't work because it's male-based characters and females don't want to read about males, you know what I mean? So, and because they told me that, you know, I could have easily changed up and went to the female side of it, but I had a point to prove. Like, I got to prove to you that if I get behind it, it's going to work.
Right.
So, you know, that dream was...
So,
That joint was crazy. One of the illest still to this day that I ever read as far as any type of street fiction.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and while he doesn't read a lot of people's work, and she definitely reads Banks. When she takes some time off to read, that's what you find in Wahida's library. She do not play when you drop a book. When you drop that book, it hadn't even came out. Your last one hadn't came out yet. But Wahida found a way to get it, and she had it on her shelf in the office. And I was like, he wrote another book? And she was like, yeah, it's come out. It was like a month or so before it was supposed to come out. But Wahida had it, and she was like catching the plane. She was like, this is going to be my read. So,
she don't play with
Banks.
Yeah, that's my girl. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of history, you know. Like even, you know, when she was on the inside, we came in contact from there, and we never broke that bond. You know, I mean, she write me, I write her back. You know, that's pretty much how it started with me and her.
Right, right. Did you ever think about going her way with publishing, or you pretty much was still standing on your own the whole time?
At that particular time?
Yes.
At that particular time, you know, you talk about 2002, like She wasn't at that particular time doing her own thing yet, you know. And I already had my own house already, had my own publishing house already. And I mean, you know, bigger than that, like I'm not the kind of guy to sign to nobody, like no disrespect to nobody, but like I stand for independence. You know, like if you read my tweets, if you watch my Instagram, like I'm totally a supporter of independent everything, from t-shirts to erasers and shoestrings, whatever it is that you're into, like do it yourself. You know what I mean? So that's what I stand for. So
you
know,
that's always been his motto.
Yeah, even with major publishing houses, like it's no check that they can cut me because I'm not interested in that.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you feel about, you know, with the independence in this day and time? Like you come up in a day and time where, you know, being independent was kind of taboo. Like, everybody was like, let me get with a publishing house. Let me get a name behind me. But you was able to build yourself and build your name.
No, it was different then. It was different then. It wasn't – when I came in, you gotta realize that when I came in the game, it was like guys wasn't even touching us. Like, they didn't even want those kind of books like that. It was smut to them. You understand what I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So
the
major publishing houses weren't even looking our way. Like, you can send them, you know, you can send them your manuscript and all that. Like, they weren't even paying attention to that. So at that point, you know, you got the, you know, like the pioneers of that game who kind of opened the door for everybody that came, you know, that, like they opened the door for me when I came in. So it's more or less like, even if you wanted to go with the majors, you couldn't, you know, you didn't have the option to go to the majors.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? So, at that point, like, you know, once guys got out there and start grinding and start, you know, hitting the streets and really, you know, hitting that whole underground circuit, then the majors, it caused so much attention for the majors that they wanted in.
Okay.
So, you know, like the first, in 2002, we didn't have the option of going to the majors. That wasn't even an option. The only option you had was to put your own paper up and go for what you know.
Right. Right. That's right. And how do you feel today? Do you think that it's the same type of respect for independent publishing, or do you think that it's tainted?
No, to be honest with you, I think that whole major logo behind, you know, the whole engine behind you, I think it's overrated. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of guys hide behind that logo. And believe that, you know, like you got to ask your question, is it about fame or is it about the business side of it, the paper side of it, or you just want to be famous? You know what I mean?
Okay.
If you're looking to be famous, then the thing for you to do is sign with the majors. But if you're looking to create your own dollar and hold your destiny in your own hand, then the only way to do that is through independence.
I like the way you said that. If you're looking to be famous, just follow the leader, huh?
Yeah,
yo,
I be telling people
all the time, yo.
Yeah, I mean, you hold your destiny in your own hand. Look at a book that I wrote 12, 13 years ago. Like I still sell this book. If you show me one guy that signed with the majors back in 2002 and his book is still relevant, then maybe I maybe change my mind
I'm so glad you here tonight because I'll be saying all this and now.
I mean that's the reality, bro. Like 2002, if you put a book out under the majors in 2002, there's no way in the world the majors would still pump that book 12 years later. It's no way. It's
just the facts.
So, they on to the next. So if you're looking for a future, if you're looking for a future with the major publishing houses, then you're totally wrong. There's no future. You got you're only as hot as that the shelf life of that project. Once that project is over, if you get a 6 month run out of it, you're cool. I mean, you know, there's certain guys who, you know, who have managed to, you know, finagle a decent situation for themselves through the majors. You understand? But I mean, 90% of those guys are not lucky with that, because they get a check, the shelf life, they pump the book, you know, for as long as it's hot, the new author comes, you're on the back burner, you're done.
Yes. And I see that. And I've seen, you know, all the people who came up in Wahida's time when she was still behind the wall with the, you know, the contracts was crazy. You know, those publishing houses was giving it to us. You know what I'm saying? The urban writers was getting railroaded without no Vaseline. It was crazy, you know. And if you had the wherewithal to stick in there, hanging in there, like, you know, for her to still be writing her capacity and still being able for the majors to be checked for her the way they are is a huge blessing. And it's not too many people that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I give it up. You know, I tell Quan all the time, like, he's managed to finagle a major situation. He's managed to stay hot going through those engines. You know, Ashley and Jaquavis, they managed to stay hot throughout all these years. They managed to stay hot. But, I mean, like those, we just talk about three. It's probably some more, you know what I'm saying? Those are the three that's on top of my head that managed to finagle situation after situation and make it make sense for them. You understand where I'm coming from? So now you got the other 95%. You got the other 95% of the industry who I can show you guys that got big checks. You understand? Because the money that the majors were giving up back in 2000, in the early 2000s, is totally different from the money that they're giving up now.
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Right. But what people don't understand is they would give you $250,000 for two books. They would give you $400,000 for two books. You know what I'm saying? But they wasn't really, at that particular time, they wasn't really giving you that money for the books. They was giving you the money for the knowledge of the game, because they didn't understand this. They didn't understand this whole circuit. You understand where I'm from? You got like, we would send our books to an editor and they would send it back like, I can't touch it. I don't even know what to do with it. Like, I don't understand it. You understand where I'm from? You know what I mean?
Yes,
so they don't. Not only did they not understand the writing, they didn't understand. They didn't even understand how to move those books, because the way you move those books is totally different. You understand where I'm from? Like everybody all hyped up about the Walmarts and all that, and that's cool. But the people who read what I do, those people don't go in stores. You understand where I'm coming from? The little blood joker that's 19 years old, like, he don't walk inside a bookstore. So you had to find a way to get that book to him. So that's what they didn't understand. Like, how are these people doing hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with no office space? That's what they couldn't understand. You got people doing $500,000 a year. No office space, selling books out of their trunk. They can't understand. So what they do, they give you a check for $400,000. But guess what? Sit next to me. I need to talk to you. How these guys doing So they give you $300,000 for the game. They ain't give it to you for the book. They give it to you for the game that you taught them. So now 2006, 2007 comes, they know the game. We don't need y'all no more. You guess what? Now I'm going to give you $25,000 for a book. Get out of here. We don't need you no more.
Ain't that something? Now, how do you feel about, you know, with coming from a paperback, you know, era, when that's what it was? It was the paperbacks, and now we have all this e-book, we have audible books. How do you feel about the way the industry is going?
I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing if you maneuver it right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because today, the middleman is obsolete. Like, you have no place in my life. Like, I don't need you. I don't need you for nothing. I manufacture myself. You understand where I'm coming from? I got my whole situation at my fingertips. Like, I don't need the middleman. I can go right around you. I step over your neck. It don't matter. So at this point, you can either get with me and get some of this money, or you just can stand on the sideline and watch me get the money. But I'm gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you wanna sit back with the ego and you don't wanna carry these books, it's cool, because the reader's still gonna be there.
Right.
Back then, you needed distributors. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you needed those guys in the middle, because we couldn't connect with stores in Texas coming from this side of, you know, from the East Coast. We couldn't get with guys in Texas, Arizona. Like, we couldn't reach those guys.
Right.
With the paperback. Mm-hmm. But today you get behind a computer and there's no middleman. It's direct to consumer sale.
Right. And they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? They're making the money. They're making the numbers. And they're doing some phenomenal things in the industry with that. But besides books, what else is your ultimate hustle? What is Mr. Banks doing over there?
Mr. Banks is all books.
All books?
I'm all books all day, every day. Like I'm in the business. I'm really in the book business. Like I'm not putting no Facebook show on. I'm really in the book business. Like I study this business. I listen to audio books all day long. I read all night long. You understand where I'm coming from? Like, I study this business. Like, I got 12 years of education of this business. Like, no college degree in publishing, marketing, nothing. All this is freestyling. So, you know, I'm in a place now where I'm learning the business side of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you going to publish more authors? Where are you going with your independence? So are you looking to have a phenomenal powerhouse, or where are we going next?
I'm looking to build this True to Life brand. That's the bottom line. And True to Life revolves around Al Sadiq Banks. So if I sign a guy, I'm a shortchange a guy. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's why, you know, I get manuscripts all day, every day. I get dudes reaching out to me from the penitentiary, and I tell everybody the same story. Listen, I hate to be a selfish, you know, selfishness, but the bottom line is if it's come down to me or you, it's gonna be me. So I won't even take the project and play with you like that, because I'm not gonna hold every dollar that I get goes into Al Sadiq Bank. So it's no I don't have extra dollars.
Right.
So what I can do for you is I can show you how to do the same thing I'm doing, but I can't do it for you because that's not where my interest is. My interest is building my brand. Like, I haven't reached my full capacity yet. So how can I take another author on and play with his career?
That's powerful.
That's indeed. And you know, I have heard you, and you know, I follow you for sure.
Yeah, I follow you too, bro. You know that.
Yeah, but like, I really follow you, yo, like, for real, like, and I know that you, everything you're saying is real, like, because I remember you said the same thing before in an interview a while ago about how you was building your brand, and it's just, you know what I mean, you and your brother, and you got your thing going on. And you don't want to take advantage of nobody or even use nobody in that capacity, because you know it's going to always be you.
The first.
Mm-hmm. And you can sit. I love your consistency, yo. Like, I admire.
Love, bro.
I admire the consistency. Like, even years later, coming back and hearing you speak, you saying the same exact thing as what you were saying, you know, years ago, and you stood firm, and you've been successful throughout the years.
You know, the bottom line is everything changes but the truth, man. Everything changes but the truth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even the sister, when she hit me, she said, "You nervous?" I said, "Nervous for what? I tell the truth, everything I say." So it's no way I'm going to be nervous, because what I tell you today, I'm going to be to tell you in my sleep, because it's the truth.
Yeah, for real.
And that's what we need. Have you ever considered writing with somebody, or you're not interested in that right now?
I mean, I've had opportunities, but like, for me, it's like, how can I really put it? It's like this. Like, I mean, people came to me and say, "Yo, let's put a book together." And my words is always this. My words to anybody who's ever asked me that, I'll do the project with you, but I own the rights to this project. Anything with my name on it has to belong to me.
Okay.
Like, I mean, and it's not selfishness. It's solely for the fact of I write. My purpose of writing outside of, you know, entertaining my readers and my obligation to my readers. Like, outside of that, like, I started this company for my children.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from? So if I write a book in 2014, my daughters should be able to pick that book up in 2020 and do whatever they want to do with it. And not be handcuffed and can't make a move with it because I signed it over to somebody.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So if all else fails, God forbid, I could go flat broke and be done in my later years, and I don't have nothing to offer my children. But I got a catalog of 15, 20 books that I give to my children. I say, listen, man, I ain't got nothing to give you but this. Whatever you do with that, create something.
Right. Definitely. And we just had a little bank. Isn't there a new little bank?
Yeah, it's a little one.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, a cute one too.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations.
So, you know,
indeed.
So thanks a lot. So everything that I do is like, you know, I may never ever reap the benefits of any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But if 20 years from now, if those girls can grab that USB key and make some money off of it, then I've done my job. But they can't do that if I got two books with St. Martin's Press, I got one with Penguin, I got one with this one, I got one. They can't eat.
Right.
They can't eat. Definitely. I need them to have everything in my catalog belonging to them to do whatever they choose to do with.
That's right. And that's a good thing. And that's what keeps you, you know, relevant and keeps your work, you know, so popular, because you're true to your craft and you have a mission and you stick to it the whole time. And I think that's, you know, definitely a sign of, you know, a real businessman who makes a plan and sticks to it all the way through. You know what I'm saying?
Thank
There's going to be
you.
Changes. You know, stuff is going to happen, you know, but if you got a plan, when it does pop up, you know what I'm saying, you can maneuver around certain things and perfect what you already have going. So
yeah,
that's
all. I've never been trendy. I'm always traditional. I never go with the trends, because the trends change every 6 months.
Yo,
I'm telling
these people.
You know what I mean? I've never rolled with trends, and you know, off subject, when everybody else was doing big Falcon Highs and big jeans, I still was slim fit Ralph Lauren. I never changed. I can show you pictures from the 80s, and I can show you pictures from 2000s. The same thing, because I don't change. I keep it the same way all the time.
Yo, speaking of
so
the 80s,
true.
Right? Speaking of the 80s, let's just go back to an Al Sadiq moment real quick. I want to take you back, and I want you to tell me exactly what you was feeling at this moment.
Uh-huh. We've seen a couple fight stops with power punches. We've also seen some great boxing, if you will, just like Al Banks in the last bout we saw.
The last couple of pressure with the power, with the big right hand, able to win his bout. And maybe the best boxing exhibition, a guy who knew he was a boxer in our last bout. Banks absolutely knew what was going to work for him, and he had the intelligence to put it to use and did not divert. We see in this pressure situation a lot of times, Vic, guys divert, they change. He did not.
Well, let's talk to a boxer right now. Ken Henderson standing by with our champion.
Yes, Al Banks, the 165-pound novice division winner. Al, a good showing tonight. It was a great showing. What do you think the key was to your victory? The key to your victory.
He is God. Well, victory. That's the key to it. Law is that for.
It seems like he changed up styles midway through the fight. Did that give you a problem?
Nah, it didn't give me a problem. It just said, like, once I got in there with him, I had to fill the fight out. Then I could adjust to it. I didn't know what to expect.
All right, congratulations. Good luck in the National. Send it back to Mick Monninghoff and Dave Bontemps.
All right, thank you very much, Ken Henderson. Good look at Al Banks, your champion in the 165-pound novice class here tonight. Did a nice job of fending off a change in style from Alex McAteer. We'll come back with more boxing action in this Golden Glove Championship from Rahway in just a moment.
All right.
Wow.
Now we back here. A lot of people, I had to play that because I always try to bring that up when we be having interviews with you, like your Golden Glove Championship, your boxing career. But I want to play that clip tonight. But before we even get into how you felt at that moment, right, I just want to say that even anybody that really was listening, for anybody who couldn't hear it, even the commentator was saying how you stayed consistent. How the dude switched up and you remained traditional. It's ironic, you know what I mean? Like that you just said that and then I went to the clip. But yeah, how was you feeling at that moment right there?
I mean, that was definitely one of the biggest days of my life. But I was confused at that time, you understand? I was confused because not even I wasn't really confused. The people was confused. For the most part, I was at that particular time, I was fighting a battle. Like all my folks thought I was gonna be a pro fighter, but in the back of my mind, I knew that I'm already doing what I want to do. You know what I mean? I'm already doing. I mean, you know, and so I disappointed a lot of people at that time because I had about 200 people in the stand that night. You understand? And they all rooting for the champ. You know, I run through the street with my hoodie on. I got dudes calling my name, screaming champ. They think I'm gonna be the next thing out the city. But in my mind, I'm like you don't even understand. Like I'm not never doing that. I already know what I want to do, and I was doing what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? So it was like it was a real confusing time for me. You know what I mean? I don't have any regrets though. I don't have any regrets. Like I had a pro contract on the table. I could have done that, but that was never my dream.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
But now when you started, now even though that wasn't your dream, when you were just doing it, playing it out, when you started actually winning these bouts, these big bouts, and doing things, did it ever cross your mind like, yo, you know, did you ever second guess yourself?
Oh, like if I should go pro?
Yeah, if you should just stay like, nah, you know what, I'm gonna stay with the boxing thing. I might be wrong.
Nah, never. Because like first and foremost, my dream was never to be a boxer. My dream was to be a trainer. But I knew I had to fight in order to learn how to teach guys how to fight. So that, like, it wasn't like I just did it senselessly. I did it. You know, my whole life is based on the chess game. So I'm playing chess. In order for me to be a trainer, I got to learn how to fight. I don't want to be a pro fighter. I never picture myself being a pro fighter. So like, I'll have no regrets, you know, in that regard. But
yeah.
The whole thing was at that particular time, it didn't make money sense for me. It didn't make money sense for me to fight. It didn't make money sense for me, you know, because you got to climb the ranks. Like, so your first fight, you fight for four rounds for $750. Like, and my trainer said, and I tell him, explain to me how this makes sense to me financially. Like, you know what I mean? Like, financially, if I can't fight every day for $750, then this doesn't make good business sense for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I'm driving to the gym, and on my way to the gym, I'm picking up pro fighters from the bus stop. Like, this don't make sense to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm riding cars in the year that we in.
Hmm.
You understand? And I'm picking them up from the bus stop with a day job uniform on, going to the gym to fight. And these are the big names of our city. You know, these guys hold our city down on a boxing tip. So I'm saying, damn, like, if he got this big name, again, he got all his fame. He don't got no paper, though. Because he at the bus stop, he works Federal Express in the daytime, and he using my equipment when we get to the gym. So this don't make sense. This don't make sense for me.
Right, right.
All right. Now, you there now. So let's take us back for those. I'm not trying to reflect. I'm just trying to go through the different pieces and elements of your life. And I got another clip too. We're gonna play too. But I just want to go through different pieces of elements of your life to just see the total creation of Al Sadiq Banks. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
The man before us today. So take us back to the car wash. Like, I seen the video, so I heard what you were saying. But take us back to the car wash, your perspective, because since you was talking about, you know, the boxers ain't making no money, you know, what was your perspective at that time?
At that time, you know, I'm 21 years old. And like that, even, you know, and I was making a nice dollar there. But, it still wasn't the dollar that I was used to. So it was like more or less like that was like my plan. That was really my plan B. Like, I was confused at that point, man. I'm a young dude and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting to a dollar. So
right.
if it don't make a dollar, it don't make sense to me. So if this is where I'm getting my money at, this is primary. This is point. This is plan A. Whether
right.
good or whether good or bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where I'm coming from? So the car wash is cool. The car wash is cool. We're making a lot of money, but it ain't the kind of money that I'm making on this other side. So, you know, if I got to make a choice between the two, then the people already know where I'm going.
Right, right. And let me just say this. Hold that question. While we're taking a walk, you know, through the lanes, I know Aaron probably is coming around to this. You have boxing. You have the fact that you was always an entrepreneur. You have these many, many books. Now, you know, a husband, a family man. And one fatal day almost took, you know, all that away from you. How do you feel looking back at that, you know, almost, you know, definitely losing your life and not even getting to the point?
I mean, how do I look at it now? You know, I'm blessed now. You know what I mean? I know I'm blessed. You know what I mean? And I know that it wasn't because of me that I'm here today. So I take that in consideration every day. You know what I mean? I know it had nothing to do with me. Like, it wasn't how smart I was, or it wasn't, you know, how I maneuvered. It was the fact that, you know, like, God had another plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But at that particular time, it's like if you get caught up in a tornado, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Inside the tornado, you're dealing with it, and you're adjusting to it as it's coming at you, right?
Right.
But the people on the sideline see the tornado far worse than you see it.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. So me, I'm caught up in the mix. Like, this is my life every day. This is what I do. Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was like they shot me in 93. They shot me in 94. You know, and that's just the times that I got hit. But as far as gunfire, like, I'm no stranger to gunfire, so it's not one time. Like mm-hmm. you know, that was my life. So mm-hmm. that was my life. I adjusted to it. I walk out the house in the morning, and I understand that there's a chance that I'm not coming back tonight, and I live my life according to that. So when people say, let's plan a vacation for next year, I'm saying next year, nigga, like, I might not even be here tomorrow. So let's go on vacation. Let's plan this vacation for tonight. Let's go. Like, you talking about, let's say set the date for June next year. Like, June next year, like, I really don't even know if I'm going to be here. Like, today, is like, I live for the moment because I know every day that I leave out is a chance that I might not be coming back. So anything right. that I need to handle, anything that I know need to be handled today, I got to handle that before I leave the crib because I know I might not come back.
Yeah. Does that change your drive? Does that change your perspective on your business plan and how you're moving, you know, with that mindset? Does that change things daily for you?
What you mean? No, this is how that was my mindset then.
Okay. So now you're in a total different element.
I'm in a total different element now, but my structure, my core is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like it's just that my eating habits changed. That's all. It's the same game. It's the same mm-hmm. game, but I eat a different way now as opposed to how I used to eat that way. So, but it's the same mentality. Like, you know what I mean? I was always antisocial then, you know, and people call me antisocial now. But it's not because that's not the way I want to be. That's my makeup. Like, you know, I come from a place where you don't want to be under the camera. You don't want to take pictures. I come from a place where you don't want to, you know, be out. You know, you don't want to be in the light talking to everybody. So that's why people say, why you don't do interviews? Why? Because I'm still messed up behind, you know, I don't supposed to be on this camera. I don't supposed to be out here with these people. Like, you know what I mean? I'm supposed to keep my life guarded because that's mm-hmm. the only way I can remain. That's the only way I can remain safe. So when I come into the book game, that's my biggest transition. My biggest transition is understanding that you don't got to hide no more. Like, you need to get out here so these people can see you. But that's a big battle for me.
Go ahead.
I have a question because I watched the video as well, and mm-hmm. in the video, you said that being in the game was an addiction. It was like
uh-huh.
being addicted to, you know, like a crack addict is addicted to crack. You were addicted to the game. But when your daughter uh-huh. was born, you decided to change paths. But, like, with uh-huh. any addiction, it's always hard to, like, steer and stay focused to go the other way. How hard was it for you to change course and make that final change after she was born?
I mean, it's three things that's involved. Before the baby, I never had a fear factor. I never feared death. I never feared anything that came with that. Like, I didn't fear going away forever. I didn't fear being murdered on the street. So when the baby come, like, now I have a fear. So now that helps me. Then you got the point of I'm a very challenging individual. Like, I challenge myself every day. Like, anything that anybody tell me I can't do, I have to prove that I can't do. So when people say, you know, you can't do that, like, you can't walk away from this, like, I had to prove to you that I said it, so I'm gonna do it. You understand? And that's how I'm able to, like, I'm proving a point. Like, you know what I mean? I can walk away from it. This don't mean nothing to me. And then thirdly is the fact that before the streets, I was never a street kid.
Mm. mm-hmm.
I got turned out on the street. So reverting back to being a clean cut dude, it was easy for me because that's who I really was. Like, the streets changed me to be somebody else. So, you know, now mm-hmm. you got other guys, you know, they start off rotten to the core. So, I mean, it's a big change for them to, you know, to make themselves not rotten anymore. You understand what I'm mm-hmm. coming from? Me, mm-hmm. I was never rotten. Like, I let the streets change who I was. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was easy to revert back. Now I'm back to me again. Like, now, you know, I'm back to the dude that I was before all of this. I had something to go back to. Mm-hmm. I still had my core values. I still had my education. Where, you know, a lot of guys don't have education. Guys can't read or write. I know millionaires who can't read. You understand where I'm coming from? Like, I was never them guys. I was never the guy who couldn't read. You know what I mean? I was an honest student all my life. So when it's time, and bigger than that, I know what it is to hold a job. So at that particular time, I'm working jobs making $180 a week. So even when I started getting the, you know, a great magnitude of money, you know what I mean? Okay, I'm living for the moment, but when it goes back to me having to budget my money, I know how to do that too. So, you know, right. I had more advantage than the average guy had. Because they didn't have the same core that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? You almost blew my clip. I'm gonna have to play this clip now because you keep it too honest, yo. Like for real, like you like the walking Quran. Like you about to blow my clip, so I'm gonna have to play this so we can get back to that moment.
Okay.
So why books? What made you express yourself? You know, coming out with a book.
I mean, actually, I never picked this. Like, this comes from Allah, man, because for a lot of years, as I said, the last 6 years of my career, I was just hustling just to maintain a lifestyle that I had. But, you know, I've always played the religious tug of war where, I'm a Muslim, born Muslim. But, you know, the got trapped off in the world. So I find myself every day, even though how wrong it is, it's like a sickness, man, it's an addiction. So every day I'm praying to the Lord, you know, I need a way out. And man, you know, one day I woke up, man, and I got a notebook with 3 books in it. And I started off as a stone cold square, man, a nerd. You know what I mean? I'm a good kid, school kid, second and third, but a situation forced my hand. And before you know it, I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, wow, like how the fuck did I get here? My goal, when I first came to the street, I said, you know, I want to get me $5,000. And after that, I'm out. I want to start up a business with $5,000. That's what I'm thinking. That 5 came so fast that I need 10. That 10 made me need 100. Now I need 200. Now I need 5. Like, it don't stop. Like, it's a never-ending battle. You know what I mean? So I look at my life 10 years into the game, and I said, yo, how the fuck did I get here? Like, this ain't my life.
Let me ask you, what business you wanted to start with $5,000? What was that business?
What was that business at that particular time? Let me see. I got to think back now. I don't know. I mean, I'd be all over the place, man. I'm always thinking. I mean, I to be honest with you, I can't even tell you what it was at that particular time because, like, I'm not a like again, man. You know, not trying to be cocky, man. But I truly, in my heart, believe that whatever I want to do, I can do it. So at that particular time, I don't know what I had on the agenda, what my agenda was, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure.
Well, you were going to do it, whatever it was, you were going to do it.
But I'm sure at that particular time I had a plan, but, you know, what that plan was then, you know, it's probably, I'm sure, like, I can't even dig that far back, to be honest with you. I can't dig that far back.
I want to just make a statement that's going to kind of segue into my next question. Like, I noticed during the video, like, you had pulled over at a point and you had picked up your cousin. Uh-huh. And, like, a few minutes ago, you was like, you know, I had to adjust to being in this lifestyle with the books. And I noticed when your cousin got in the car, like, he was immediately uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Like, he smiled, but he looked at the camera like, yo, what the fuck going on?
Like, what are you doing, man?
let me ask you, like, today, seeing how things are, you know, Instagram, the internet, all this, that, and the third, because we were talking about this last night, and I just want to get your perspective. Like, when people that jump on camera and talk about things that they've done, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about literally. You know, I'm not talking about figuratively, like, in the sense of, like, how you was riding around. You're like, yo, this is how I got to this book game. I'm talking about people on there just being specific about things that they've done and just putting it out there. What's your perspective on that, looking at that from the sense of the game that you come from when you looking at it?
I mean, I look at things like first of all, if you've done that, if you've done all these things that you say you've done, then, you know, you don't have to tell your story. The people will tell your story.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
and, and, And that's just how I feel. Like, I mean, you know, again, you know what I mean? You come through my city, I got dudes, I got stand-up dudes that vouch for me. They'll tell you what I've done. I can sit back and let them tell you. You know what I mean? I don't have to butt in and say, remember I did this? No, I don't have to do that. You know
yeah,
what I mean? So for me, I don't need to be in the camera, you know, bragging about street activity because I got enough people out there that talk about it from a daily, you know, on a daily basis, basically, you know, talking about my change of life. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel the need to do that. Like, you know, and sometimes I hear some things on the internet that make me cringe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow, like you would say that? Like, you really would say that on the internet? Like, you really would say that, you know, you shot this many people and you did this and you really would say that? Like, it's certain things that I've been involved in that I'm taking to the grave. Like, I don't like my folks don't even know some of the shit that I've done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, something's going to the grave and people are like, yo, what about that? I'd be like, what about it?
Yes.
What about that time? Like, nah, I don't
want to
talk about that time.
You know what? And I know that, you know, definitely what you're saying is true because I never met you back in the day, but we ran into some of the same circles. And
yeah.
I was at my cousin's house down the hill, and I was like, yeah, she saw a picture of me and you at Source of Knowledge. So she was like, that's Al Sadiq Banks or whatever. I said, yeah, yeah, he an author, so. She was like, yeah. He ain't no joke. Or something she said, but the look on her face when she said it was kind of like, but she didn't say much. Like, I'm
yeah,
like, well, she
yeah.
ain't saying nothing else, and
yeah,
I ain't going to
yeah.
ask no more questions, but I could tell the respect that she had. And she's a young girl. She's not even an old head like us. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. I said, all right, Mr. Banks. Okay, that's that quiet storm when you come through the bookstore, like, okay, I got to do what I came here to do. I came to do what I got to do, and I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm
yeah,
not.
Nah.
I was
that's
never
authentic.
I mean,
yeah.
I was never. I mean, like what you see today is what you would have saw 15, 20 years ago. Like I'm no different. Like I'm no different. I just say, you know, I just eat a different way now. That's it. Like, but as
right.
far as my character, as far as my makeup, like everything about me today is the same way. I'm grounded. I keep the same folks around me all the time. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I'm about. Staying grounded and remembering, you know, exactly who I was and never letting nothing alter me. Like, I let that game alter me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let the game alter me and turn me to you know, somebody vicious. You dig what I'm saying? And you know, and I made a vow to myself that, I, you know, nothing else is going to change me from my original form. You
right.
know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. you know, I just can't be swayed. Like, I don't want to be swayed. Like, I don't want to involve myself in anything that's going to take me back to be that the guy that I was. Like, I didn't know who I was. Like, my mother looked at me, you know, saying one particular time, and it brought tears in my eyes. Like, my mother looked at me, and she said, like, I don't even know who you are anymore. I don't even know you.
Wow.
You know what
wow.
I'm saying? Like, so, like, my mother said she don't know me. You know what I mean? And that particular time, my response was, I don't even know me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know me. Like, these things that I do on a daily basis, like, these are never. I never at 13 years old would imagine me being involved in any of those things because at 13 years old I wanted to be a lawyer.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I had nothing. I had no thoughts of ever doing anything to ever be on the other side of the law.
Yes.
All
yes.
right. So let me ask you. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question because you know just the way you grew up and. You were very smart. You went to college. You graduated from college. You kept good grades. You had a lot of options in your life. And going to the street never really had to be an option. What was it about the streets that kind of pulled you in or attracted you to turn towards that direction? Because you could have done anything.
I can never blame it on peer pressure because I've never. There's never been anything in life that I've seen somebody else do that I didn't think was right that would make me do it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I can never blame it on peer pressure. Like, oh, I've never been peer pressured into anything in life. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was born a leader, and I led my entire life. Like, I've never been a follower. So at 14, 15 years old, I'm going to work at KFC. And I'm being dropped off in Maseratis and Porsches by all my folks, but I'm solid. Like, yeah, that's your life, but that ain't my life. I go to work at KFC, I got my uniform on, and I'm jumping out of Maseratis and Porsches. You know what I mean? So if that was the case, if I was into peer pressure, I would have been rolled over and followed their lead. You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
But it, like, you know, my story, you know, and like my story comes from like I didn't come to the streets until 18 years old. I came to the streets during college, first semester of college.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming from? Like my pops gave me a phone call, basically telling me that he's not paying them. He's not paying for the you know, he the one told me to sign up for the school. I go to the school and he paid for the first semester, and then I get a call at 2 a.m. that he's not paying for it no more.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You think what I'm saying? So yes. I go to my man in tears the next day, and he's like, "Listen, man, what's going on?" I tell him what's going on. He said, "Don't worry about it. I got you." So my man, in his mind, he believes that he's gonna pay for my, you know, because he's gonna protect me from the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know that ain't my life. They know I'm not into that. So whatever
mm-hmm.
it takes,
mm-hmm.
and I'm solid. I'm stand up, dude. Like I, you know, I'm stand up all around the board. Like I'm just don't sell no drugs. I mean, but if a dude sneak you, I can handle that. I can fight. I ain't no punk. Everybody in the city know I can fight. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
So like I can help you in any way except for that. So his thing is, you know what, I got you. You know what I mean? So, you know, at that particular point, you know, he thinking he's going to pay for the whistling, but I'm a man. Like, I can't let nobody pay for it. So I go for what I know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mom Dukes, between me and Mom Dukes, like, we put it together. So now mm-hmm. I get the degree, but by this time I'm heavy in it. I'm looking like, go to work for $30,000. You got to be kidding.
Hmm.
That's where I'm at that point. Like, yeah, I like the degree. It look real good. What's the name? But I never done anything with that degree.
Hmm.
Anything. I mean, I don't even, to be honest with you, I graduated with 3.4, but I don't remember none of that because I was going to school and basically freestyling and got a 3.4 because I was busy trying to get out that class to get to what I really was trying to get to.
Well, what was your major? What did you major in?
I'm an electronic engineer.
Oh, this
by,
gonna
by,
kill you, Nene.
By degree. I'm an engineer by degree, but ask me anything about it, I couldn't tell you the difference between none of that. I was there, but I wasn't there.
Yeah, he said I was there, but I wasn't.
But I got to see act 4.
let me ask you something real quick. I want to transition a little bit into the books, along with, you know, the transition since we're on the trip. In the video when you was talking about your books, not even in the sense of, you know, this is how you feel today right now, but when you was talking about the books that were out on the market by comparison to your books, and you was like, yo, like, come on, like,
yeah.
These books ain't, you know, like, what was your thought at that time? Because that was a raw time for urban street fiction.
Yeah, I mean,
when you made this video.
Oh, no, now when I made that video, that was 2007. I came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it was still
yeah,
kind
was,
of raw.
Yeah, I was already in the game. I already had 6 years in by that time. By 2000,
oh, no, you was
had.
Killing them. You was
yeah.
killing them. I'm saying the game was still kind of raw. Like, it was still, niggas were still able to eat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
mm-hmm.
was, it wasn't like you was addressing, what I'm more so saying is it wasn't like you was addressing a circle of amateurs. Like, whoever was in the game at that time, like, it was more raw. It was serious. Like, you had to be there.
I mean, the bottom line with that is, you know, and I'm not discrediting nobody because I don't know nobody's story. Just like, you know, if I didn't tell y'all my story, y'all wouldn't know right now. So I don't really know a man's story. But I do know one thing, like, any way you want to go when it comes to that street life. I could take you, I've been on top of that pistol. I've been under that pistol, and I can show you how both sides of that pistol feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I could tell you how the crack house smell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could show you babies that went 3 days without eating. I can show you all it, so I can walk you there. It ain't it's like I have just my eyes closed because I know this. So if you
mm-hmm.
wanna if you wanna deal with secondhand smoke, what your man told you, it's gonna read different. it's gonna read different. By the way, your man gonna tell you the story one way, and you are gonna add your twist on it. I'm gonna give it to you raw the way it really is. This what coke smell like when it's burning. This what the crack house smell like. This what a hungry baby look like. This what a girl. This the look in a girl's eyes when her mother make her do it to a string of dudes just so she can get high. This is how her eyes look.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wasn't in them crack houses, you can't describe these things for me. And that's what the people read. They read, for me, they get going in those houses.
Mm.
And now you know another guy, he'll take you through the house, he can walk you through the house so fast that you ain't even know what's going on in the house.
Yo, what the
don't speed walking through the house. You know what I'm saying? Let's walk through the house. Take me from the living room to the kitchen and describe all
Don't just tell me about the crack house.
Don't tell me about the crack house. I imagine I don't know what the crack house is and bring you here.
Yeah, exactly. For real. Yeah. Let me ask you about something else. There's something else I wanna touch on. Like when you was writing in Block Party and you was writing the mayor back in and he was in the county jail and the youngster was about to try to plan for a shoot. Eventually they did plan for a shoot. You know what I mean? But when you wrote that, what was your mind state on the street? Like, had you seen a transition in the street?
I thought it, if you read my catalog book by book, I believe that a dude that's in the penitentiary for 20 years, right? This is my belief system. If he read my books from start to finish in the order that I wrote them, that he would see the transition and how the game changed at every different level, every couple of years. And I did that purposely. I did it purposely to show you the transition. So if by chance you spent 20 years away, you need this catalog so you understand where we at today. This is where we at today.
Mm-hmm.
I know when you left, it was about beepers and sneakers. You know what I mean? Getting girls and getting you a little $2,500 car. But now we have a place at this particular time, at 2000, you know, just say I wrote a book in 2010. At 2007, 2008, dudes are getting millions of dollars and they're ready to put you to sleep over. So if you didn't own a pistol in your run, you need to get one now. That's what I wrote that book for. So they can understand that everything evolves. Everything has changed. Like, Even like in 2006 when I wrote Block Party 2, it shows you the whole transition of how gang life comes into the play.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So every so often I just show you how it evolved. It goes from it goes from gang life. It goes from with the gang life creeping in, and then it goes to the gang life controlling the city, and it goes to you come home as a veteran in the game, and you come home and you're in Weekway Park doing pull-ups and you get your block knocked off just because.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because the youngsters worry that you may come home and turn up. So you know what? Before you turn up, kill him in the park. We got to worry about him.
Yes.
For real.
Yes. You said just knock it off already, right?
Knock it off for nothing. I'm home doing pull-ups,
thinking about a warehouse job.
Yeah, I think about a job, and you get the lid knocked off for no reason.
Wow.
So through my writing, I just want to show them, like, this is where we at right now, man. This is where we at. And that's why, a book like Block Party, which is 12 years old, still relevant, because the truth don't change.
Yeah. That's
for
right.
Real.
Aaron, Ms. Tony has a question for Mr. Banks. Go ahead, Ms. Tony.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Banks. I'm honored to hear your story, and I'm humbled by it.
Thank you.
But I do have a question from our first hour.
Okay.
I respect your upfront honesty, and as far as taking another author on, so have you had the honor of showing any new up-and-coming authors your hustle, and did they actually pick it up and run it with it?
You know what I do, though? I never want to put somebody out there and say I helped him, I helped them, because I blow my blessings by even saying, I showed him. But I can tell you one thing. Anybody that hit my email address, I gave him some kind of pointer.
Okay.
Everybody, any and everybody that has ever emailed me, I did not hit that button without guiding them with whatever they asked me about.
Mm-hmm. What is this email address? Because I didn't get any personal counsel today. I'm going to need you to give me that email address.
What's the address again?
It's AlcideBanks@AOL.com.
Okay.
You know that's official. He got the AOL joint still.
Yeah. Never change. I don't change. You see, I told you that. I'm never gonna compromise. And I mean, I got the same email address since back then. I got the same company name. Everything is still from back then.
Yes.
No trends. No trends. No trends. You can have his Gmail if you want. I don't want a Gmail. I need his AOL.
Yo, we got a caller. You want to take a caller real quick?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Hey.
Okay. 323-243. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew and the man himself, Al Sadiq Banks. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Godfather.
What's up, my bro?
Hey.
What's going on, Godfather?
All right. Man, I can listen to this dude talk all night. I have, actually. First of all, let me give my regards to the host. All y'all been doing real good. I like this interview. You guys got some good questions. Aaron, I love them clips you've been playing.
Thank you.
What can I say about this dude, man? I think you captured it.
Wow.
Exactly. I did an article, an interview on Al Sadiq myself. And I titled it, he didn't know it. He didn't know the piece that I wrote. He didn't know the title of the piece I wrote. The title of that piece is called True to Form. I wrote it on StraightChaser.com. This dude don't change.
Word up.
Tell y'all now is the same thing he told me then. This dude is just so genuine, man. It's crazy. I mean,
I was telling somebody,
I said, man, when I interviewed Al Sadiq, I almost felt like a broad. I was caught up in every word. It's crazy. The dude is just, he's a beautiful spirit. He's honest. Mm-hmm. He's open. He don't hold nothing back. You know what I mean? Where do you find that at? Where do you find that, right? So, I mean, I'm crazy about this dude.
Thanks a lot, man.
And
it's mutual, bro. It's mutual.
Absolutely. Man, me and this dude, I do a lot of interviews. I mostly talk to people 15, 20 minutes. I talked to this dude for an hour and a half and didn't want to hang up. It was just getting too late. I mean, it's crazy, right? But like you said, everything changes but the truth. You know,
for
he said never trendy, always traditional. Hey, man, this dude is just, he is who he say he is. See, and when you're who you say you are, you don't have to remember the lie you told. You see what I'm saying?
That's
and
right.
That's why we love you so much.
Thanks a lot, bro. Thanks a lot.
Let me say this. Right. Here's this. Or like Aaron called you, the walking Quran. I mean, how much truer did that get, right?
For real, y'all. Like, I'm just keeping it real, y'all. He'll tell you himself, man. Since I met him, like, nothing but praises to the man. Like, I've been on prison compounds where his whole boy's book been just keeping everybody captive, everybody rushing to the yard to talk about it. Like, yo, where you at? Like, when you read this part, for real, like, he got it, man. Got the truth,
hey,
man.
In my opinion,
I love him, man. He hot.
You see, look here, man. It's like I said in my article, me and him walked the same journey. You know, a straight-A student got caught in the gang. I'm in prison, homie. I've been out 25 years. You feel what I'm saying? This dude's never done a day. He speaks my language. He knows me. He knows me. You feel what I'm saying? And how he can really say that? He sent me, look here, man, I didn't even ask this brother. Didn't even ask him. He sent me three of his books. Out the clear blue, they show up. I'm passing around. I mean, like I said, I'm still in this prison. I'm passing around the yard. All they do is every time they see me, hey, man, that book, man, they loving this dude's work. You feel what I'm saying? I mean, he's an official cat, man. And I can't give him enough praises. When I wrote that article, you know, it was like I put my heart and soul into it because I believed in what I was writing. It was easy for me to write. It was like I was writing about myself, man. It's one of the best articles I've ever done.
No, it was hot, too.
I
sat back and read it like, wow, like, yeah, it's heavy. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. That matters. You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I told you. I said it was fire, bro. I said it's fire right there, bro. I told you that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you liked it, man, because I meant every word of it, bro. Real shit. You know what I mean? I even told my publisher, DC Book Dealer, I even told her, you know what I mean? It was getting too long, and I had to make myself stop writing because I wanted to say more. You know what I mean? It's like just like we had that conversation. I didn't want to hang up. It's just, you know, you're a genuine dude, man. Real sharp. Now, I don't give a damn what, man. You one of the realest cats I've met in this game so far. And she told me that when she introduced me to me, she said, how do you not know Al Sadiq? She said, you need to talk to him, right? So you guys are a lot alike. You talk to him, and I'm glad I did, bro.
I'm glad we met too, bro. Most definitely. You know what I mean? And you know, and where I come from, man. You know, you can spot a fraud from a mile away. You understand where I'm coming from? So anytime that I connect with real people, like I cherish the people that I connect with because I know that 95% of these guys not cut from that cloth.
Right. Well, I got another boy named Stone Anthro, Arthur Stone Ramsey. He's out of Oakland. Me and him got Alex Hayes. He got a long history there. But, my life story is dropping. And originally it was named Transitions in the Hood. I heard you talk about your books being the transitions that they take place. My book embodied that, right? But now here's what he told me after he read it. He said, man, you know what I noticed about you? You was always lower to catch. It was never lower to you. He said, but that title don't work, dude. I asked him, I said, what you suggest as a title? He said, man, go with True Blue. And you know I claimed that title?
Wow.
That True to Form thing, man, it's real with us, man. It's real. It's real.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt about it.
That's
wow.
Really, I don't want to steal the interview, man. I can talk to you forever, man. You already know.
You got the number, so we can do that. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, man. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And Lisa, I will get that submission to you. You told me that stuff. You told me you're saying I will get that to you. That autobiography and all that stuff. All right.
What's up? Thank you, Godfather.
All right,
we
peace,
appreciate
bro.
You.
Yes, thank you.
Stay
thank
up,
you.
Brother.
Thank you.
Thanks
you.
For having me, man. Y'all got a hell of a dude on that show, man. Real talk.
Thank you.
All right, yo.
Thank you. That's a blessing.
Yes, indeed. We got another caller, too.
Okay.
504-710. Good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew and Al Sadiq Banks. Who are we speaking with?
Just Kim Robinson.
That's right.
Kim Robinson.
New Orleans, right? New Orleans. How you
yeah.
Like New Orleans, that's right.
No.
I'm reading it through the life.
That's right, through life all day, right?
What'd it be like? What y'all talking about? I'm not an author. I don't know how I can contribute to the topic, you know, but I was just
Nah, we got a topic. The topic, we was going to get to that, too, because I definitely wanted to get Al's perspective on it was the hustler in the square. That's the topic.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the hustler in the square and the difference?
Meaning,
in reference to the genre?
In reference to life. The square and the hustler.
And the hustler. There's no in between, right? It's so fake out here and what they're selling these days to these kids and to the society, period. It's really hard. If you don't have no true guidance in your life right about now, it's going to really, really be hard. You know, the education system sucks. All of that stuff sucks. Where we come from, where it took a village, you know, I'm 47 years old, and it literally took a village, and it worked. I'm proof and testimony of it. Now, it's just the whole 80s generation in which a lot of these kids were born. It's gonna be really, really tough for them if they don't have no guidance.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, a college education, the structure. You know, a college they're selling education. You know, not knocking education. A degree is a beautiful thing, but if you don't know how to do anything, how are you gonna use that? How are you gonna use that? You got a degree and you're going to be working at Walmart. You know, that makes no sense. They're not teaching them anything. You know, they're selling degrees now. You're getting a degree and you're in $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt. How real is that? That makes no sense. I'm about a free education. I mean, you know, they're not teaching these kids that. You know, our kids not getting a grand scholarship.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? The rich kids are. You know what I'm saying? It's tough out here. They're not teaching them to be creative. We have to be creative with your education, with your master's and your doctorate. Because if you ain't creative, you're just going to be educated. A degree is not education. Not a total degree. You know, you gotta have some guidance behind that. You know.
That's so true.
And I'm not even Harvard in Princeton. Graduate. I'm just from the bottom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you thought you didn't have nothing to contribute to this conversation. Did you hear that, Sadiq? She was like, I don't know what I can contribute. And she just came over here and blew our minds with that one. Yes. We thank you for calling. Yes.
Absolutely. You gotta have a plan, whatever your passion is. They're not even asking these kids, what is it that you like to do? What can you contribute?
That's right.
You know, not to society, but for yourself, yourself, you know. They want to chase money. They're watching reality TV. Nobody's not telling them that's a straight-up hustle.
No question.
You know, I want to be like Nene. Nene, you want to be like Nene? Why? What Nene have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
Foolishness, you know, and nothing against the sister because she hustling. You know, she hustling, but your daughter should not be trying to be like no Nene Leakes, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
I have a 21-year and a 31-year-old, and, you know, they're not perfect, but they know that that's fiction. That's straight-up fiction. That's garbage, you know. Garbage.
It's not true. It ain't true to life, right?
No, it ain't true to life at all, You know, I grew up in the area. I watched television, but I watched actors, Marlon Brando. You know what I'm saying? I watched actors that perfected their craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's not acting. You know, that's just some foolishness.
Let me ask you, what separates Al Sadiq's books from all the other urban fiction you read?
You can have a coffee-table conversation about Al-Sadiq books. His words come pop at you, you know what I'm saying? You can say jewels from his books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're true to life. You know, you're going to know some real, you know, it's storytelling at its finest. You know, it's just...
Yeah. Thank you.
It's just storytelling at its finest, you know? And I don't want to use the word, you know, embellishment, because writing is real. You know, some things you have to embellish to create your story, but for the most part, Al Sadiq's work is, you know, you're going to learn from it. Even if you ain't from the streets, from the bottom, you're going to learn from Al Sadiq's work. You're going to be like, wow, oh, that's how it go. You know, this is how the little girl get attracted to the, you know what I'm saying, in a real way. You know, because most times people don't want to be, just don't want to be like what their environment is. You know, they just become a product of their environment. You know?
All the time. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in with that New Orleans love.
And another thing. Oh, y'all hear my draw? Another thing about Al Sadiq work, and what I like about him as an author, he don't chase, you know, chase the dollar. You know what I'm saying? He let it, you know, he let it do what it do. You know, he ain't chasing, you know, and nothing against nobody, you know, because some people are, you know, good at, you know, getting these big deals. But the whole genre is just messed up now. Messed up. They're just writing. They're not even Dr. Seuss books. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. They done took the whole thing out of reading. You know, I don't even like to say urban fiction anymore. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
And that's coming from a reader.
Look, run-on sentences. Like, what are you trying to say? Run-on sentence after run-on. No period, no question mark, no nothing. You just writing. You just writing. You not saying anything. You just writing.
And guess what? Kim is one of the first readers who ever emailed me back in 2002.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. When social media kind of, because, you know, emailing was like one of your first reaching out to somebody from far away. You know what I'm saying? I was like pushing and shoving with this man. Oh, no, I didn't get my book. Oh, no. You know,
that's
he's
right.
Like, wait, this but it's
day
all
one.
Good.
Day
though,
one.
You know?
Day one. All the way.
It was like, dang, my shit touched all the way to the end, though. I'm like, yeah. And a shout-out to my cousin who gave me this book. She's on social media, but she don't follow, you know, the authors and the readers like I do. She said, sister, she said, Kim, I have this book. She said, the author name is Al Sadiq, and, you know, I'm Muslim, right? So that was a pure connection for me off top. So I read the book. I didn't read no exit first. Black Party was the first book that I read. And Tony was so near and dear to me because I know a lot of cats like Tony Austin. You know what I'm saying? This dude struggling, you know, come from a single-parent home. You know, he trying to make it, but he got caught up. But lo and behold, he found his exit. That was a true book. I recommend book for all, you know, high schoolers. That was a real book. That was a real book. Block Party was good, but No Exit is a life, to me, a lifesaver for a lot of young guys. It's a really deep. It taught plenty lessons. You know, they have so many, and that was 10, 12 years ago. So you know how many Tony Austins they've got trying to find their way, you know, struggling with that turmoil, you know, should I do this, should I do that, you know, that inner turmoil. That was great. That was a great read. Very great.
Absolutely. You know, and even to have a caller as well, because she, you know, he's really, he's not beat. You know, when people say I'm not beat. He's not. He like, look, I'm right doing what I want to do. I'm enjoying life. And she can see that in his pen. We are so glad that you called in and shared with us and got to, you know, just share your knowledge because, you know, you did, like Denny said, you said you didn't have nothing to say. Great, they came out here to drop some
Well, actually, I thought it was only
so
for all the guys.
We are glad you called in.
Well, thank you, Keisha. Thank you very much. Not Keisha. Who am I speaking with? Lisha? Who is this?
This is Lisha.
Oh, okay, Lisha. Okay. Well, I'm glad to be a part of this forum. I didn't think I was going to click in, chime in. I heard the brother, he was long-winded. I said, whoa, how long I'm going to stay on this forum? But, you know, I'm glad I was able to contribute. I'm glad I was able to, you know, hear Al Sadiq and the other brother, you know, this, you know, great thing you have here, because Al Sadiq is a humble guy, you know.
He's
shy. Guess what? He got a whole lot to say behind them dog shades.
Absolutely. We want you to continue to listen to the show and enjoy yourself.
Yes, thank you for calling in. Thanks a lot, Kim.
Okay, all right.
Have a good one.
Peace out.
Peace.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, that's love. That's real.
Yes, that confirms everything we said about still being relevant and being strong, you know, all those years later. You know, it's not just us saying it because we all colleagues and peers. You have real readers calling in, you know, who are confirming, you know, the things that we're saying about, you know, Al Sadiq Banks, and we appreciate them for calling in and confirming. You know, everybody knows that you're a stand-up guy. You're the truth, and we appreciate
that. The bottom line is this. When you're writing as a writer, you should be building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building relationships between you and the reader. Like, if I sit down and I read 300 pages of your book, and when it's over, I don't think about those characters, you've done something wrong.
Right.
You did something wrong. If I don't remember your main character's name, or I don't, my heart doesn't go out for those characters, then I've done something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
so you look at, like, the key for me, I look at every reader like it's my first reader. So 12 years in the game, if somebody emailed me today about No Exit, which is a book that I wrote back then, we gonna powwow back and forth about No Exit.
Right.
It's a brand new reader to me. It's a brand new relationship to me.
Right. That's right. And that's a good thing because a lot of people don't look at it like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I always say, if you don't have any readers, then you can't call yourself an author. Be able to give them special parts of yourself when they ask for it, you know what I'm saying? You don't qualify. You know what I'm saying?
We have an obligation to them. We took on this. It's like it's no different from your barber, your hairdresser, your dentist, your doctor. Like these people come to you for a service, and you have an obligation to them. As a writer, you have an obligation. Like one thing I will never do is misinform my reader. I read all day every day just so I have enough knowledge to give to my readers. I don't really need to read fiction about the streets. Like that's, you know, I got enough of that information. But I need to read some real world stuff. I need to read some current events. I need to read, you know, some different things so I can inform my readers who don't read those things.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And you can always tell when an author has written something and hasn't done proper research.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he's like, that don't go like that. And if anybody from the streets or from any hood could read something and be like, when did that happen? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not even talking in real time. You like, they're not mentioning anything that's relevant or current, like you said.
Yeah.
It don't have to be no long, drawn-out thing, but does anybody in your book ever pick up a newspaper or watch TV? Does news ever come on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, everything's not ratchet. You know, I knew every morning was faithful to the newspaper, like reading. They knew how to read the stock market. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was
crazy. And nowadays, it's just like, you know, ratchet, sex. You know, pounds, for this, for that. But that's not happening everywhere, and that's not everybody's hustle. Even though a lot of cats was out there in the street, everybody did not move drugs. That's not everybody's hustle that's in the street.
Exactly, but that's
for real.
But you know what? You know, Akbar Prey is like, you know, a dude that's kind of dear to me. You know what I mean? He's dear to me. You know, he had a life sentence that he just overturned. And, you know, he calls me once or twice a month. And one of the most profound things that I've ever heard, like outside of, you know, this guy told me, he said, never reject the opportunity to educate the people.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that as a writer, you have a platform. You understand? And understand that it's some people that's looking in these. Some people can separate the truth from the fake. You understand? But then you have some who don't know the difference. You got some who don't know the difference. So it's your duty to not to miseducate these people. So if you have a platform, right? It's cool to write about it's cool to write about sex, money, and murder, this, that, and the third, right? But educate people. Give them something. Let them walk away. Like, you give them all this nonsense, right? I mean, I call it nonsense because it's murder, it's mayhem. You know, it's really nonsense. You know, as a civilized people, like, that's really nonsense. You understand where I'm coming from? I don't mean the writing itself. I mean that particular lifestyle. That lifestyle.
Right.
As a civilized people, like, that's nonsense for us to be, you know, living like that. You understand where I'm coming from? So
yes.
If you give them, if you give them that, because that is the conditions of what, you know, the circumstances that a lot of us are under. So it's cool for us to give them that, right? But make sure they walk away with something else too.
Yes, yes, and I agree with that. Tony had a question, Miss Tony.
Hi, I'm still here. I'm busy writing. I'm one of the resident note takers.
That's our quiet storm to be. Everybody has one.
I've literally taken 5 pages of notes of the jewels you've dropped tonight.
Wow.
And
she's
I want to back up because I'm going through my notes and ask you about your boxing program that you started, that you felt you needed, and how many kids are in it.
Actually, right now, I kind of fell back from it, like this year right here. I mean, the kids were, it wasn't because I wanted to fall back. It was more or less like the kids today are different than what I'm used to. Like, the kids today, like, they come to the gym today, they don't come back for 2 weeks, you know, or this guy's in the gym just because his mother got a date, so she drop him off at the gym and they go on a date. Like, I couldn't find the serious fighters that I was looking for, so I kind of just fell back. But actually, you know, it was me, my brother, and my uncle has a mentor program where he mentors kids, and we just kind of incorporated all that together.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. They need that. And they need somebody who has walked, you know, those same roads. You know, a lot of times people think that they got to get all clinical on these children. This is a different breed right here. You know what I'm saying? You have to let them know that you got stars and stripes in the game so that they can even respect you enough to even listen to what it is that you have to say before you can even help them. You know what I'm saying?
Mean,
it's
like,
crazy.
Like, the whole boxing thing for me, like, I could, like, any success that I've had in the world, you know, outside of God, comes from what I learned in that boxing ring. Like, I learned discipline in that boxing ring. Like, this is what I try to give to the kids. Like, I learned discipline. I learned, you know, to never quit under no circumstances. I learned that, you know, when you get weary, you put your back against the ropes and you ride the ropes until you can get back up. You understand? Like, so it's so many different things. I learned in the boxing ring that every move you make should set up your next move. Like, bottom line, like, I'm not going to throw my jab out there because
for every jab I throw is a chance that a right hook gonna come back at me.
Mm-hmm.
So
knowing
that, it's the same aspect in life. If I make this move, you're gonna counter. So if I'm not really ready to fully execute this move, whether it be business move, whatever, if I'm not really ready to jump out there, don't throw the jab. Don't waste it. Don't throw it till you got something to come behind it. So all those things I learned from the boxing ring are the same things that got me through my life today.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the young kids need that. Like the young kids need that. You need to learn how not to quit, because if you and my trainer taught me, he said, if you quit on me, I quit on you.
Mm.
So if you're gonna get out here, you're gonna show off, you hurt and you wanna quit second round, don't get mad next fight when you look in the corner and I ain't here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need that too. Some grown ups need that training out. Are you teaching grown ups? Are you mentoring adults? Are you mentoring any adults?
And another thing I learned, another one of the biggest things I learned was, and I applied to life, most people lose the fight. My trainer told me this. Like I remember everything my trainer ever told me. Like my trainer told me, he said, huh? All right, thanks a lot, bro. I got you. All right. He said most people who lose in the locker room because they don't think they can win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth.
Thank you.
You
understand?
True.
So that's why people make classified as cocky. When I say anything that I do, I'm going to be successful at it. And I have, like, to this day, you know what I mean? I thank Allah much. Like, to this day, anything that I've ever touched, I've been able to do what I wanted to do in that game, whatever it was. Whatever it was. Mm. Like, whatever I choose to do, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to stop until I do it. Because I know if I come in with a loser mentality, I'm going to lose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely.
Right. Speak it to create.
Now let me ask you, what's the number one cigar everybody should be smoking out there for all the cigar smokers?
Oh, I mean, that's all a matter of palate. You know what I mean? Like, it's all a matter of taste, man. You know, you might like a $30 cigar, and I might like a $3 cigar. It's all a matter of taste. You know what I mean? It's no one particular brand. Like, it's more or less, you know, what you like. Do you like mild? Do you like full body? Do you like medium? You know what I mean? It just varies. Like, it just varies. Like, you know, and I learned, like, to never look down my nose at what another guy smoked. You know what I mean? Because everybody got a different taste.
Okay.
And that's just, again, I don't apply that just to cigars. I apply that in life. Like, if that works for you, you know what I mean? Like if that works for you, that don't necessarily work for me. Like and I respect that works for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the same thing with this business. Like if you want to sign to the majors, I don't look down my nose, but that's what worked for you. But that'll never work for me.
Right.
Okay.
So have you ever thought about starting a cigar line?
Actually I did, but I mean it's a lot that go with it and I wasn't really fully prepared to really jump out there and do it the way I need to do it. So I kind of put it on the back burner, but I started, so I can't stop it. But it's just not right now. I can't continue it right now because it just takes too much. I mean, you know, traveling to Nicaragua, and you got to have the farms, and it's a lot. And I wasn't really ready to make that adjustment in my life at that time. But I do plan to get back into that though.
Okay. Well, do you want boxing for your children, or is that something that?
Oh no.
He said no, I'm a girl. No.
I mean, my oldest daughter can fight. You know, I taught my daughter to fight at 5 years old. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I didn't teach her to fight. I didn't teach her how to be, you know, to be a fighter. I taught her just to learn how to maneuver through life. Like this is how we get through life. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna give you all the techniques. You know what I mean? You duck, you dodge, you stay out the way, you throw your jab, or you set up your move off that. I told her that to learn life, not even to learn boxing. But one day we in the gym, and I go to the bathroom, I come back, and she on the ropes, and she said, Daddy, I can't wait to get in there. You know what I mean? At that point, that was her last day in the gym. I saw her eyes, like, she had that look in her eyes. She said, Daddy, I can't wait to get inside that ring. I said, you're not never getting that ring. You know what I'm
saying? Forget about it.
Yeah, and you know, and I believe that boxing is not really for, it's a thinking man sport, but I just think boxing is for for guys who don't have a way out.
Mm.
Like, if you don't have no way out, if you don't have no education, you know, you kind of dumb as a doorknob. You really have no education. You don't really have the passion to do nothing else. And this is your last stop. That's cool. But if you got some education and you do some other things, like I really don't think that's the route for a person who has some other things going on. I mean, you know,
right.
to stand out there. You know, and I don't disrespect nothing because I never look down my nose at how another guy eat. I just know that it ain't for me because I'm not a pit bull. Like, I'm not gonna stand here like a pit bull and watch y'all. You know, like, you know, we all watch me get beat to the death of me. Like that's you know, and make it, y'all make a dollar off me getting beat to the death. Like, that's not for me.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
But I don't know. I mean, they get a lot of money doing it, but it's just not for me.
Right. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the comic books. Were you able to go out to any, like, comic book conventions? And
yeah, I've done a lot of comic cons. I learned, you know, again, I do a lot of research on the comic cons. You know, with all the different comic books, you know, animated series. That's what I plan. I plan to take all the books into graphic novels and animated series. You know, like, I don't know if you're familiar, like motion comics, like, you know what I mean, like, just say you see 30 minutes of Block Party, but it's all cartoon. It's all
anime. Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? And every week you log on and you're gonna watch 30 minute episode in comic.
Oh, you about to launch like your own TV, online TV joint?
I mean, I'm not really sure like the platform that I'm gonna use as of now, because like I said, every step is set up for the next step, like in. And the whole thing of that is, like, just to get the people in mind and get them, you know, in the habit of seeing my characters moving in real life, whether it be comic book or not, and then I prepare you, that prepares you to see all my joints in movie form. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's my goal for me. Like, my goal, like, I mean, I'm going to write a book every year like I always do. But my, like, as far as my, you know, my next couple of years goals, it's all about animation and it's all about movies for me at this point.
I know, because that's where everything is going. I'll be seeing the future.
Yeah, that's what it's about for me. You know what I mean? Like, and I love books. You know what I mean? I love books, period. I love holding books. I love reading books. Like, I love books. And that's where some of the success come from, because I actually love books. I'm not doing that. I've seen a lot of guys who came in when the money was crazy. I've seen a lot of guys come in hustling because, you know, it was making a lot of money. You dig what I'm saying? Like, I'm here when the money ain't crazy no more. You understand? Because I love books.
Right.
I love writing. Mm-hmm. I love conversing with my readers. Like, I love the whole culture of books and everything that comes with it.
Yes. Yes. Do your children share that same love? Are they the same about books?
Nah. I mean, it's a different era, you know what I mean? She, like, my daughter likes TV. I don't watch TV. You know what I mean? I stopped watching TV at 18 years old. Like, I have no desire for TV. So, like, when I'm telling her, like, yo, I'm going to take you to Barnes & Noble and get you a book, when I turn my head, I see her face like, book? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, you know what I mean? But I continuously enforce it, though. You know what I mean? I enforce it. Like, I come from a family full of readers. Like, you know what I mean? My mother read to me when she was pregnant with me. My mother read all the time. Like, you never quote my mother without a book. So I come from that.
Right. Definitely. That's our era.
Yeah.
I mean, our parents came up in that Renaissance movement, that black art, black power movement. And it was always, you know, books in our houses. You know, my family was Muslim as well. So it was always books in our houses. I don't know when there wasn't a book. We got on punishment. Punishment was the books. Go get the encyclopedia, the dictionary, write a paper, you know, so many spelling words. Like, that was punishment in my house. Like, oh, boy, you're doing this right now. But it made me who I am today. I have you're able to talk with people from all over the world. I can sit down with people from all over the country, you know, different places, and have an intelligent conversation because I read. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly. And you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference when you talk. When you talking to a reader, you can tell the difference.
You
know what I mean?
For real.
Yeah, you can tell the difference. I mean, books are important, man. And, you know, and we get, even Stephen King, I read an article on Stephen King a couple of months ago, and he said he's worried about the future of reading with so many distractions, reality TV, games on the social media sites. Like, nobody's reading anymore. This is Stephen King, a dude who I think gets $12 million advance for a book. So if he's worried, you know we should be worried.
Yeah, wow. I think that article was in the New York Times, too.
Wow.
Yeah. I read that same article.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Wow. But people don't be paying attention to stuff like that. Like, people don't care.
But I don't see how you could write and not read. Like, that don't even go together. Like, how could you write and not read? And I'm not just saying read in your genre, because I don't read urban fiction, because that's not my interest of reading. I just don't. I read philosophy and things like that. But you have to read something, even if it's a newspaper. Like, how could you write and not read? So you can see how it's used. So you can see how the dynamic of commas and periods. Like, half of the mistakes I think that authors make in books is because they just simply don't read. Because if you read the whole structure of a sentence and a paragraph, and it baffles them.
It's like Al was saying earlier, like, don't just say this is the crack house. Like, bring the reader there. Like, you got to be, there's no, you know, the substance and development and reading now is so thin, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But you've had a wonderful career, and we thank you for sharing your gift with the world.
Thank you.
And being consistent, you know, every year, being consistent and making sure the people behind the wall get it. I was telling before you came on that you have a large following behind the wall. I see you coming through, Source of Knowledge, making sure your readers are getting their books, they're getting them on time. You know, and you be about your business. When you come through there, you're about your business. You handle it and you out. You know, you make sure you do what you do and out, you know. And I'm always wondering, like, he's such a little mystery. Like, he's in and he's out. He's in and he's out. She's like, I'll take a picture. He's like, no, I ain't been to the barbershop. You know, I'm on the move. I can't do that right now. I'm like, excuse me. You going to look the same with the haircut, without the haircut, Mr. Banks?
No, not at all.
He like, no, Nene, no, I will catch you the next time. I will catch you the next time.
Yeah.
But it's a blessing.
I had been in for like 2 weeks. Like, I ain't had no haircut looking cave, man. You told me to take a picture. Like, nah, not like that.
But we do. We thank you. And you're always very humble. And I've never had an opportunity to actually hear you speak, because usually you're not talking when I see you. You're moving and you're handling your business. And I thank you for, you know, honestly, you know, giving us special parts of yourself. You know, our readers, you know, they're listening to call cues. They don't even have their ones raised, but they're just sitting in there listening to the interview and enjoying it. And we thank you for, you know, for sharing that with us.
I mean, I thank you for having me, man. For sure. You know what I mean?
What do you have coming down the pipe? What's next for Mr. Banks? Where can they get you? What books? What's next?
I got a project that should be out next 2 months called Outlaw Chick. I just sent that to the editor now. I'm saying, trying to put the cover together. So that's the next project right there.
Okay. Do you have any signings or events? Where can they see you at?
I normally just kind of freestyle. I really don't do a lot of signings. You know what I mean? I really don't do. It comes from like the beginning. Like I never really had a big success with book signings. So it kind of just, it seemed like I do better not going to the signing, so I kind of stray away from them sometimes. But I always hit certain spots, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hit certain spots that, you know, I got my set core spots that I always hit. But I've never really been a book signing. Like, I've always been a behind the scenes type of guy all the time. Like, you know what I mean? It took me 4 books before people even saw my face. Like, I've always been behind the scenes. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been behind the scenes. Like, I'm just like, that's just my way. Like, if you're in a crowded room, chances are you're gonna see me all the way in the back of the room. Like, I'm not gonna be in the front. I'm never gonna make no noise. I'm never gonna attract no attention to myself. Like, I'm gonna be the first one in there, and I'm gonna be the last one to leave, so nobody don't see me coming or going. Like, that's just how I go. You know what I mean?
Yes. And you know what? So funny. The first time that I met you, I think it was at J.M. Benjamin's party. And everybody was taking pictures and stuff, and they was like, that's Alsa G. Banks. And I was like, for real? And you were taking pictures, and you was like, excuse me, could you come over here and take this picture? So I took one, and then you found me again. You was like, excuse me, can you? I said, do you know who I am? You was like, yeah, Nene Capri, could you take this picture? I was like, well, excuse me, but it was just so funny.
It was no disrespect to Nene, because I didn't know nobody else in the building. Like, I didn't know nobody else in there to ask, so I'm like, yo, I know her, I can ask her. You know what I mean?
Your picture guy all night long. Like, excuse me.
Listen. It was no disrespect intended, no type of way. I was familiar with you, and I knew you, so I felt comfortable. Like, I'm the type of dude, like, that I knew dudes for 30 years. They never heard my voice. Like, if I'm not comfortable with you, I don't talk to you, period.
Right. And that was just so fun. It was cute, and it was real, and it wasn't, like, I didn't feel no disrespect. I felt good because I'm, like, I'm new in the game, and he knew who I was. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that sounds good to me. Take your picture, certainly shall.
If I didn't find a comfort zone with you, I would have never said a word to you. That's just how I am.
That's what's up. What's your sign, Al?
Gemini.
See,
oh, okay.
I'm telling you, Gemini's rule the world, Joe.
Oh, shut up,
y'all,
Aaron.
Thinking it's a game. I'm telling y'all, think it's a game. This man's obviously a mastermind right here.
Oh, Lord. I guess that's a Gemini talking to another Gemini.
Nah, for real. It's just obvious. Like, just be seeing the chessboard exactly for what it's for.
Exactly.
Yes.
Life is
that's
tough,
what's
man.
Up. That's
bottom
what's
line.
Up. But we thank you. We want you to continue to enjoy your evening. You know, this is your house. If you have any new, you know, things coming out, please let Leisha know so that we can blast them and blog them, you know, get them to our readers so they can know what you have new coming down the pipe. And feel free anytime. If you got something you want to highlight or talk about, this is your show. Hit us up, and we'll get it on in here.
That's right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Indeed. Stay up, brother.
No doubt. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks to all
that
our callers.
Great.
Wonderful show, wonderful interview. That was awesome. Everybody can't get Banks out. He came out and he showed out.
Yes, indeed. That was like one of the best interviews we done had, like, for real.
Yes, so authentic, so real, so true to life. That was awesome. I enjoyed every second of it, and I'm happy that he came on here and he shared himself. And for his readers who follow him all the time, they're listening like, yo, he's the same guy. He has not changed from day one to now, you know. And that's the show of a true man and somebody who is authentic to their craft and authentic to the game, a true hustler, you know, from a square to a hustler, Mr. Al Sadiq Banks. Thank you, everybody. Y'all have a wonderful evening. And just drop that beat for me one more time, that 24-hour hustle. Be on the lookout.
This is state of emergency. Bitches.
You want me to
bitches,
do? I'm sorry.
Bitches.
I'm back.
Corporate love and hustle. Making money hustle. Independent business, 24 struggle. On the block hustle. Crooked cop hustle. Hustle, trickin' John hustle, working the pole, that's your goal, 24 struggle, counterfeit hustle, politics hustle, flipping bricks to go legit, 24 struggle, overbooked hustle, writing books hustle,
in the pen with your pen, 24 struggle,
rockin' college hustle, getting that knowledge hustle, keeping up with tuition, 24 struggle, underhand hustle, made in Japan hustle, trying to come across that border, 24 struggle, mafia hustle, conglomerate hustle. Fall in love with a thug, 24 struggle.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be sucking, that be sucking.
You know we hustle around here.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be sucking, roll with niggas that be sucking. Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be sucking, that be sucking.
You know we hustle around here.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging?
This is serious, man.
Hustle, deck the cards, hustle. Never let them pull your cards, 24 struggle. Going green, hustle, slot machine, hustle. Keeping money in your jeans, everyday struggle. Move your foot, hustle, doing jokes, hustle. Protecting everything you have is a known struggle. 9 to 5, hustle, overtime, hustle. Trying to hold a decent job, make your mind struggle. Bootleg, hustle, doobie and braids, hustle. Trying to ride the latest wave, 24 struggle. American dream, hustle, plotting the scheme, hustle. Cause every time we close our eyes, all we see is struggle. Tattoo hustle, YouTube hustle. Just to get a couple views, watch a few struggle. I know we all hustle, that's all a part of struggle. It's time we get it popping off, so we all bubble.
Who you loving, who you wanna be hugging? Roll with niggas that be